Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. Where the Bible says, when Jesus comes again, will he find faith in the earth? Because either this faith that we've been singing about and preaching about has brought us to this moment where we use it, or otherwise, everything we've been singing, preaching, praying about is for absolute naught. It's all been a show. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
We pray this study in the book of Nehemiah has been a blessing to you. Let's continue with Pastor Rogers as he takes us back into this message series. This is a study from the book of Nehemiah, Rebuild, Part 3.
Ammonite heard of it, heard about the rebuilding, heard about Nehemiah's plan and the vision. It grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem, Nehemiah said, and was there 3 days, and rose in the night, and some few men with me. Neither told I any man of what God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me save the beast I rode on. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, into the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain, the king's pool, and there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. It was blocked. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went and what I did, neither had I yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests or the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that I did the work. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress. This is where we're at tonight. Ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And I said, and they said, when they heard that, the people, the Jewish people said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. We started into this lesson last week talking to you about the fact that the city of Jerusalem had been burned down to the ground and the walls had been broken down. And Nehemiah, God's man of faith and power in that particular time, rose up as the king's cupbearer and bore his soul to the king. When he did, the king, this Persian king, said, how long are you going to be gone to Jerusalem to rebuild the city? And he said, what do you need to make that happen? And Nehemiah laid out his PO, his purchase order, and he asked him for letters of authorization. And God's, according to the word of God, he sent with Nehemiah, the king did, he sent the soldiers with him to guard him, to protect him all the way there. And so Nehemiah makes it to Jerusalem in this reading that we're saying here tonight. And there was already opposition waiting on him. The minds of the people when he arrived in Jerusalem were so depressed, so beat down, so pushed down, that the temple was not being worshipped in. The walls of Jerusalem had been broken down. The gates had been burned out by the Babylonians years prior. And now Nehemiah comes with the burden of the Lord, with the voice of God in his spirit and the letter in his hand to be able to do the work of the kingdom. And he now surveys around the walls of Jerusalem to find out what it is, what the task is ahead of him. And he's not afraid. He comes with great courage. He comes with the authority and the anointing to be able to do it, and he is sharing that with the people. Now, on your paper, we ran some things down for you last week. We only got so far before the Spirit of the Lord began to move in this place that I couldn't preach any longer. May it be in every service, amen? So Nehemiah, on your paper, waited to share the vision to the appropriate people at the appropriate time. That's a critical thing for us to understand, because not everybody that you share the vision with needs to hear it. Not everybody's going to get on board. You're going to see that more here tonight. And so Nehemiah rides around. He sees what's going on. He sees that the city is laid waste in verse 17. And in verse 18, he says, "Then, after I surveyed everything, after I got the scope of the magnitude of the work," it didn't scare him because he had the purpose of God inside of his heart. He said, "Then I told them of the hand of my God, the anointing of God, which was good upon me. Not only that, but I had the king's word that he had spoken with the letter in his hand of authorization to rebuild this city." Now listen, Nehemiah challenged the people. This is on your paper here. He challenged the people to remove the disgrace by rising up and rebuilding. Now, this is critical because there have been two other groups of people that had already come back to Jerusalem from Babylonian captivity, and they had attempted to rebuild the temple, and they did. And Ezra came back with the word of God, and he spoke the word of God, but the hearts of the people were still beat down. They were still surrounded by enemies, as Nehemiah will show us here in a moment. They were still in such a state of lethargy, and some said, "We don't want to have anything to do with church, with rebuilding the walls anymore. We don't want to be involved in any of that. We are ready to just get on and go on with our lives. This whole thing has depressed us," and Nehemiah says, "Well, what's going on is an absolute disgrace for the church doors to continue to be closed. It's a disgrace for us to let people drive by our churches and by the Jerusalem walls and see it beat down and the ministry not happening." He said, "It's time for us to rise up and build." So on your paper, Nehemiah then motivates the Jewish people to rebuild by testifying of the hand of God's anointing upon him, and by the letter of authorization that he got from the king. That's a big deal right there. And I just came to tell you here tonight that there are many people, and this is such a parallel of where we are today. There are many pastors that some churches have opened, some of them have not. Whatever your level of faith is, I talked to somebody today that is in more of an area where there's been a greater outbreak going on. Use wisdom, use common sense. But at the end of the day, you have the hand of the Lord and the authorization of the book and the letter that is coming from the king. And before you listen to those that are in authority, and before you consult with people that are going to bring fear into your life, you better consult with God and hear the word of the Lord to do what God has called you to do. God did not call you to go to that church only to shutter the doors and sit there and keep doing the way we've been doing it online. That building has been established as a place where the church gathers together as one to lift up the name of the Lord. And now more than ever before, let us rise up from the disgraced place that the church has been in. Even tonight, with the burning of this church, with others, I saw the headlines earlier today in certain states. They're calling for the churches to shut down again because there's been the grouping of people come together and a few folks have gotten the COVID. I understand using wisdom. We're going to use wisdom here. But ladies and gentlemen, if all the years of preaching faith and this church behind this pulpit and the word of God, where is our faith? I believe this is a fulfillment of the scripture where the Bible says, when Jesus comes again, will he find faith in the earth? This is critical for us because either this faith that we've been singing about and preaching about and praying about all these years has brought us to this moment where we use it, or otherwise everything we've been singing, preaching, praying about is for absolute naught. It's all been a show. We are made more than conquerors, the Bible said, through Christ Jesus who loved us. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So when vision and leadership start coming through Nehemiah, listen to what the people did. When they heard a visionary in Nehemiah begin to speak about the anointing and the authorization, they strengthened their hands for the good work. Hallelujah. The ministry of the church happens 24/7 during the week, not just on Sunday. It's not just a weekend thing. And we're probably going to find out a lot of stuff this coming weekend because it's Memorial Weekend, and it's the first weekend, three-day weekend since we've been in the middle of this coronavirus now and shut down churches. I want you to know something, my friend. My soul loves to gather with the people of God, and there will be no boat. There will be no activity. There will be no celebration of anything that's more important than getting me and my family together and being in the house of God, socially distant but spiritually connected. Can you say amen to that out there? So the book of Nehemiah chapter 2, verse number 19 says that these two characters, Sanballat and Tobiah, show up. And this is amazing when you read it. It's amazing. Listen to this. I'm going to read it to you from the NIV. Listen to this. But when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the Ammonite official, and Geshem, the Arab, heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. They mocked and ridiculed Nehemiah and said, "What is this you're doing?" they asked. "Are you rebelling against the king?" Look at the accusation. Hear me. There's a prominent lawyer right now who has just written a book, and this is what the title is. It's titled, "Guilty by Accusation." We're living in a time when people are made guilty simply by the accusation, and here's the problem. People that are not listening to God, that are listening to the accusation, make decisions and get offended and are already begin to make decisions because they're listening to somebody who does not know what they're talking about. These guys brought accusation against Nehemiah, but when you know the truth shall make you free. It may take a little while for that truth to come out, but don't you worry. Come on, somebody. You're seeing it from the top of the government all the way through society right now, where people, all they got to do is throw an accusation at you, and the next thing you know, people that are not spiritually connected to God will listen to it and make a decision. Next thing you know, they'll drag them and their family and 10 others into a place of outside of the blessing and the hand of the Lord upon their life. Verse 29 or verse 20 says, "And I answered them." This is Nehemiah. He said, "The God of heaven will give us success. We and his servants will start rebuilding. But as for you, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or any historic right to it." In other words, you have no legal or spiritual claim to this city. We are Jews and you are Samaritans. You have no right. Now these guys, get this. This is where the parallel comes into the whole thing. Because right now, I heard just earlier today that our governor, Governor DeSantis here in Florida, was attacked by the fear-mongering media about the numbers. And everybody wants to know about the numbers and all that's going on. And then there's other governors that are making decisions that are so foolish and dictatorial that they're seeing the results of their decisions blow up in their face. These three guys were governors of different regions around the city of Jerusalem that did not want the Jews to rebuild. They did not want to see, can I put it in the plain language? They were governors of other states who did not want those other states' governors to authorize the church to open its doors up and let people come in, because if they start doing it in Florida, they're going to want to do it in Alabama and in Georgia and Tennessee. But I came to tell you right now, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear you from prayer from heaven. I'll come down and I'll heal your land. God is saying for the church, this is the time to rise up and build. Don't be a disgrace anymore. Don't be a place that's burned out and locked up. Rise up and build in this hour in the face of the enemy, ladies and gentlemen. Let us take our position and say to the enemy, you have no right. You have no memorial. You have no authority. authority over this house. You're not going to tell me when you can and when you can't. I'll make the decision for that, because this is still a country of freedom, and we're up underneath a constitution. And ladies and gentlemen, the greatest constitution we're under is up underneath the Word of God, which is the authorization of the King. My God, I wish I had a church full of people here tonight.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the Word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.